Welcome to the I Self-Reflect podcast, where together we'll work to achieve self-love, self-growth, and self-reflection.
I want you to be your own guru. I want you to realize how powerful you really are, because I believe what we say to ourselves is of great importance, and our mind is our greatest asset.
Now, here's your host, Laureano Mercado.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Thank you for listening, my beautiful people out there in the world. On today's podcast, I would like to continue the segment of messages to myself. Today will be the perspective of my past self talking to my present self. As you say the title of this podcast, I Self-Reflect, you'll always enable yourself to go on this journey with me while doing your own self-reflecting and self-awareness. Get outside of your own comfort zone and keep an open mind. Visualize and let the journey begin. But before I begin, the question might come up, and it has, why am I reflect, so to say, on the past to my present? Well, my past has affected me, my future, so greatly that to me it's worth talking about. More so, worth remembering. What I'm about to say really did take place and has been a psychological roller coaster for me ever since. So let's begin. From the past to my present self, everyone has their own story, and this one is mine. Well, Laureano, aka Coco, what is up? For remembrance purposes, I'm pretty straightforward and blunt with what I have to say, so I'll skip the formalities with you. And I hope I've caught you in a time to recall some important details of what has happened. And as you know, I just had a weird encounter that I'm sure you partly remember. This encounter will impact your life in a way I'm sure you have yet to understand, but I hope you do by now. P.S. I still don't. Well, how to begin this? So I'm currently living in Eugene, Oregon. It is the year 2012, between October and November. Although I'm drinking and smoking weed, this experience is not from those substances at all. So I live in an apartment number 3 in downtown Eugene. And apartment number 1, which is right below mine, is my neighbor, Paula Sleeper, who is the whole catalyst of this story. So I'm not sure how this came about or what the initial structure was when it came to this pinnacle moment in my time. We've met each other before, but this certain time or certain day, I'm not sure if she came to me in a dream or this was real life, but nonetheless, this was real and impactful. And let's get started. So all of a sudden, I'm approached by her, and I am told I can call 2 friends over to witness on what's about to happen and take place. The 2 friends I have at that time is Daniela and Connor, which actually they both come right away after that. And I've been told that I'm about to go on a spiritual journey. And from what was mentioned is because I was a good guy and I deserved something like that. And she also tells me, Paula Sleeper, that it was no accident that I'm out in Oregon from Indiana right now. As in, like, I was brought here. Take that as you will. And I was told these few things that I can kind of remember. I'm going to try to put the pieces in order, but I'm definitely going to be jumping around. Just stick to me the best way you can. So even though Daniela and Connor were there to witness what was about to happen, she told them and me that they were unable to be in my life in the future, that we're all meant to go on different paths. And if we continue our friendship in the future, it's going to change all of that. I remember Daniela being more intrigued about this and Connor being a close friend as well at the time. I could tell he was more taken back and kind of shocked. And Daniela was more in line with the spiritual world because I believe her mother was in the Wiccan space. And so she's more in this esoteric vibe. So more opened and kind of, I think she found it more fascinating than Connor did. And I remember Paula Sleeper at one point was telling me a story about a gentleman that who lived as her neighbor before, and where the story is kind of going to is the way she was telling me this story about this other gentleman, the way I've lived my life from then on to this moment in time, I found out that story was about me because a lot of the things lined up. So in a way, she told me my future right before my eyes, but I actually can't remember it all. But I will get to that point. But during that time, I remember Daniela even asked about her future and what was going to happen type thing. I remember she mentioned some things about her sister, but her specifically, that she was going to go to the Navy and would embark on that journey and the path later on, which at that point in time, she wasn't even thinking about that. But let's continue. And actually, I remember that as clear as day that that did happen. So that's pretty interesting. You'll see. And I remember I was at a coffee shop. I'm not sure if it was weeks later or years later, trying to recall what happened on this specific day, and asked Daniela if she remembered. And she actually had no recollection of this at all. And I remember walking to Connor's house because it was at a point in my life where I was kind of freaking out and I wanted some answers. And since he was there and we were really close friends, I figured he would just be up front and tell me everything. And I remember knocking on his door one afternoon, and Connor's not a loner, but he definitely kept to himself and had his own thing going on for him. And at this point, when I knocked on the door, there was a girl that opened up the door with a dog in her hand. And I remember he was more of an introvert, so it was kind of odd that he had a girlfriend at the time and he wasn't home, but his truck was in the driveway. She said he wasn't there. And Connor wasn't a dog fan. So naturally, this was all weird to me. But let's continue. So this specific day, I was told that I was going to go on the spiritual journey, and my neighbor, Paul Sleeper, was going to help me or open my third eye for me. Feel free to look up on Google what that means and what that might entail. And during this journey, I was able to pick a person that I could be close to. And I remember listing all my different friends and the people, family, relatives that I knew, and kind of details about them to her, kind of like it was an interview process type thing. And I remember picking my friend HB at the time, because I've known him since high school, probably around 2003, so to say, the early days of high school. And we still stay in contact to this day. And there was an interesting story after all this takes place, why I'm still connected with him to this day. And tune into the next episode, because me and him are going to deep dive into this, because I ended up calling him after all this takes place, which you're about to hear what happens. I ended up calling him and kind of telling him what took place, which I don't remember. But I remember the only thing I said to him was that we will be set. Kind of like, don't worry, we're going to be set. But I remember I was crying. I had my shirt off in the kitchen of my apartment. It was like a sunny afternoon. I had the blinds open because I remember the sun peeping in. And it's kind of the only thing I remember from this day. So tune in next time to hear what he has to say on his part, what I told him. And he's a gentleman that will keep me grounded forever in my whole life. From being there for that moment through me. So during this whole time, this whole spiritual journey thing I was about to go to, I was told I had to kind of pick a disability that I had to be structured to live within. And there's a list of five that I had to pick through. And one of them was schizophrenia. Another one was like bipolar. And I don't remember the other three. And I was kind of like picking her brain of like, man, what should I go through? Because, you know, I've never dealt with anything like this before, nor dealt with any of these things. And so I was like, oh, what's one I can kind of like get through? And I ended up picking schizophrenia, which kind of is a weird, ironic joke to this day, since I feel like this is all one big dream. But we shall get to that as well. And because I remember, so I picked schizophrenia and I joked to her about this. I was like, man, if this doesn't work out, you know, I might be this homeless person running in the streets of Eugene naked, going crazy, talking to myself. And she kind of giggled and reaffirmed that, well, you know, that could happen, you know, just to make matters more interesting. I was also told that they had to block out or erase my memories. Feel free to speculate on what they means, because I'm still trying to figure that out. So they had to block out or erase my memories from this event taking place. There was a reason stated during the time, but naturally, I can't remember it. And so I'm going to list off different things that I do remember and try to put these pieces together as I can recall them and kind of jump back and forth, but kind of give you the whole shabam. So during this time, I was also granted 3 wishes. And since doing that, probably about 9 years later, 2 of those have come true thus far. 1 has yet to come to fruition. And during this time, I was asked to sign a piece of paper, which kind of scares me and makes me anxious to this day. But it was kind of like an agreement of sorts. I don't remember what it said or what it was about. And, you know, later on asking Paula about this, she said it was a letter from her to myself telling me how much she appreciated me. But I'm like, well, why did I have to sign it? Well, I don't quite remember. But I do know HP has some insight on this because I guess I told him about this as well. One thing I remember was I was told during this whole conversation, an ordeal, I was told that aliens, as we think of in the space, sky, or whatever you think, don't like to be called that. They see aliens as what we consider illegal aliens, you know, crossing the borders or something like that. But they like to be called foreigners. Just a little fun fact. And I was also asked if I wanted to go through the bad times first or the good times. And I remember I picked the bad times first because I couldn't imagine my life being great in the beginning and then falling down on hard times for the years to come into an unimaginable future. So I said, well, let's get rid of the bad times first. It only makes sense. You know, I recall her also telling me a story about an old neighbor, which she proceeded me to tell me about. And, you know, as I lived my life, it was about me. And while I was listening to this story, I could see this gentleman like being on an airplane, flying in the sky and like traveling. And then another snippet of a lucid thought, so to say, like was in Paris and was having dinner with some woman that was like in a red dress. But who knows if that'll come true for myself. If, you know, she was talking about my future in front of me, we shall see. I've done traveling. So, but we'll see if there's old Paris and women in red dress. But honestly, at this point, I do believe it'll probably come true. Well, the reason for all this, the whole opening up my third eye, it's kind of intense. This whole spiritual journey, it kind of makes sense with somebody why you want to do that. I know a lot of shamans and people who meditate can get to this point where you open up your third eye and you get to this enlightened state and you kind of get connected to the spiritual world and see some truth and stuff like that. But please search that. Let me know what you think. I'm going to deep dive that on the next episode as well. So a few notes that I remember her saying also was that something like a military experience or a military experiment was happening. And that's all I remember from that. And something about how this was all a game in a way, but not to worry because she always wins. She kind of has like this child heart too. So she kind of says it like that, like a little kid. And it's kind of fun. And I took this as there was several people with this power and they got to pick a person to go on these quote spiritual journeys, I would assume, by her saying that she always wins. Then that means such as myself, perhaps people are getting scored in some sort of way, or if this is sort of game, then if it's a game, there has to be a winner in a game type thing. But it's been a trip. And so one of the things I do recall, some major aspects, I remember waking up the very next day after this whole I don't know if you want to call it an enlightenment spirit thing that just happened to me, this awakening or something that took place. I think it was the next day. And I remember feeling like very lucid. Like I just woke up from like this lucid dream, or I was in the dream itself as I woke up. And when I woke up, I was just astonished how everything felt real. But then there was something else in the air that I was like, oh man, I know I'm dreaming, because I've had this feeling before. And I knew, I just knew it. So I started clapping, kind of applauding this magnificent magic that was taking place. And I was conscious of it. And as I did so, I can hear this banging from downstairs, like boom, boom, boom. And it was Paula, because she was downstairs. But it sounded like she was hitting the ceiling with a broom, as to say, stop being so arrogant during this process, or something of the sort. Or at least that's how I took it off, you know, during that time. And at that time, I worked at a Mexican restaurant at El Torito in Eugene. You know, I was an outstanding server in my book, and I was able to take numerous tables at once, give outstanding customer experience. But then suddenly at work, it was like my brain started going cloudy. I was unable to multitask like I was able to. I remember telling people at work that I was about to go on a spiritual journey, and that I was probably going to be gone from like 3 to 5 months during this. And, you know, side note, I sometimes think that this is a dream state I'm in. And at some point I'll wake up from this lucid state and be back in Eugene during this time period. And that the past 9 years have just really only been this 3 months in some weird hypnotic dream state that I've always lived in. And well, so much for picking schizophrenia, or could it be the truth? Well, one instance, I remember heading to work one day and I was listening to some Tupac music on my headphones. Now I'm going through this whole spiritual journey experience, picking the bad times first, right? Meeting this magical, mystical person who somehow told me my future and signed this piece of paper that said something with. But I was just filled with rage one day. I kind of had enough with it. I had a lot of crazy shit happening. And I was just like, felt like I was being fucked with. And I was just ready to take it out on somebody, anybody that kind of just stepped in my bubble, trying to like fuck with this, with me on this like weird journey. I was just driven crazy. And I wanted some answers. I wanted some clarity. I just wanted something. You know, I remember I jumped on the bus with all this mess in my head. I sat close to the back of the bus and I sat down with like just almost these tears in my eyes, just filled with rage. And I remember a gentleman in front of the bus dressed in like a long black overcoat or a pea coat sat down in the seat right next to me and said, it's all going to be okay. You have to be patient. I've never said one word to him and I just started bawling. I took it as some sort of like guardian angel of sorts. It just made me feel like, you know, I've always felt like I've been watched, sort of say, ever since this happened. And it was just like, maybe he was just like, all right, guys, let me just go up to him and be like, just reassure him of some shit and make him feel better. And I'll tell you the truth, I needed it at that very moment. I remember I was heading to work. And so I'm taking these tables. I'm kind of feeling this weird feng shui way. I'm just out of my head. And I can recall a few certain instances where I'm like talking to my tables, writing down what they want, and all of a sudden I start crying for no reason. And I'm like, I feel confused. Like every move and all my actions are being watched from every fiber and energy in me. My body and my mind just doesn't like this. I can just feel it. I can sense it. I'm not sure what to think. And all of a sudden I think I just broke down. And I was trying to just to rely on my server habits to be functional on my job, to where I'm like, okay, I know these patterns, I know these steps, just rely on those and just get through this work day. But there'd be weird instances where like my tables would randomly start taking pictures with me, which never happened ever. And often, you know, if you think about this, you go to a restaurant, you don't be like, hey server, let me take a picture of you, or let me take a picture with you. And one day it happened like 3-4 times and I was just bugging out. And so I was just like, all right, you know, I'm in this weird game. People just want to like, you know, take a picture with this, the player in the game, so to say. So after a while, when I'm able to take 10 tables, I go down to only be able to take one table. And then from one table down to zero tables, I was unable to even function at work with the way my mindset was going. I'd stutter my words. The words I was trying to read, I would say would get jumbled and mumbled, and I didn't know how to speak. All of a sudden, I was like, oh my God, what is happening? You know, and I figured that, okay, this is just me going through, quote, the bad times first. I got this. Just keep going. From then on, I was just mentally unfit to work. I was like, all right, I get it. I can't do this. And look, for me, there's some great people that I worked with, you know, and a great friend that stands out to me till this day. His name is Ryan. Shout out to Ryan. Thank you for the love, homie. Who I worked with at El Torito, and he was able to raise some funds through work and through all the employees and gather some groceries and help me pay my rent during this difficult and traumatic time during my life, because I was unable to take care of myself. You know, for instance, one time I was sitting on my couch in my apartment by myself, smoking some weed, and I had some candles, and I could almost hear and feel that something or some energy. It's hard to explain that, but one candle was for my friends. Like, one of the candles that were each for my friends, like Connor, Daniela. And it was kind of just antagonizing me, saying like, well, which candle are you going to light first for which friend first? So it's kind of like that mind fuckery. And I was just like, fuck. But I'm kind of stubborn and smart ass. So I flicked the lighter, kept the same flame up, and I lit both those bitches at the same time with the same flame, just thinking like, ha, like, you know, you can't win type thing. And so I was kind of being told like these weird things in my head during these times. It just didn't make sense to me, such as like stand in the corner, open the front door. And I was complying because I knew I was going through this weird thing, but I thought by complying and following these weird things in my head that perhaps all this would come to an end. Like, you know, if it was a game that I was playing, then if I did these certain things, then all of a sudden everything would just stop. I'd be like, all right, you're done. Congratulations type thing. You know, at the same time, after lighting those candles, I could hear footsteps on my kitchen counter, like something was running across it. And I believed it to be a cat. You know, all my doors were closed. I have no pets or animals inside, but I had dishes in the sink, right? And something ran across from it, and nothing was there. I looked over, but also I can see my dishes just go boom, like fall down, like some weight got put down, because it sounded like some steps, like running across these dishes. But I'm more of an observer. I don't get fearful with stuff like that because I have an open mind. I'm like, all right, well, that happened. Fuck it type thing, you know? If I can't control it, then I'm just observing it and kind of fascinated in like weird shit like that too, you know? And one observation time, I had this candle, just one candle this time, in front of me, and it started to change. And I remember in a heartbeat, just like that, this little flame on this candle shot up to about 6-8 inches like a flamethrower, and then went right back down to normal. And I was like, oh shit, this is some magic shit. Like, oh, okay, I'm in it. That's it. This is happening. But that was kind of it, you know. And I did play around with some meditations and during that time, because going through a rough period of my life, I wanted to get a sense of clarity, some answers, some guidance or something. And I would have like weird stuff happen to me during meditations. And I'm sure if you're a big believer and practicer of meditations, you actually start to see stuff with your eyes closed. And stuff like that would happen, but you know, I'd see like footprints on my carpet of things walking by or something like that. And another instance, I remember one time opening up my front door and looking at the second floor apartments right across from me. And I was being told that one of these doors, these are apartment buildings, like real doors and stuff, that one door was for my friends, one door was for my family, and one door was for riches. It was like, which one did I want to go to first and pick, pretty much. Like, it was a fucking, like, a game show in my head. I was like, oh, fuck. Of course, I try to ignore it, but it's like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, man, like, is this the way this ends? Like, if I don't do this, then am I just stuck in this fucking weird psychological cycle? And so I ended up picking a door after much speculation, because I wanted to end and be over with. Thinking that if I picked the door, you know, there'd be people or something behind it, and people would come out like and celebrate, you know, that I was done with this weird journey. Like, surprise, fucking yada, yada, yada. None of that happened. And I went back home. One interesting weird time, this did have some drugs involved. You know, it was a new drug that got introduced to me by my friend Connor called Meow Meow. Another slang term is called white magic. And I believe I mixed it in a blunt and I was smoking it. Now, granted, this wasn't my first time using it. And so I kind of knew what to expect. And I was just kind of just chilling with it, just like I ever do. But then, like, I felt something change and something weird happened in my apartment. And I must have texted Daniela, who in turn texted Connor, because they both ended up showing up in my apartment to be with me. And I just remember I was laughing, crying, and just mad at the same time. And all my thoughts at the same time was like, was the spiritual journey I was going through, and, you know, when was this going to end? I was kind of just like losing my mind, and this was like my escapism, and I was just like looking for help type thing. But in this mental state of mind, taking a drug as such wasn't a good combination. You know, they actually ended up taking me to the ER room in Eugene at like 2 in the morning. And I still feel this was all a dream and people were not who they say they were. You know, I was like put into this like big cell, but there was like a big desk where like nurses and doctors came in to kind of talk and interview with me. But there's people just who look like other people that I knew. And I was like, fuck, are you fucking with me right now? One person walked in and had like the same shoes as Connor, even though it's like not unlikely that was some magical experience, but it was as such of these synchronicities that were happening to me was driving me over the edge to kind of make me question my sanity pretty much. You know, so after that time, I was unable to like be by myself. I was pretty much tripping out of my house, you know, just alone, seeing things, hearing things, being told things. And, you know, and luckily, you know, Daniela and her beautiful family invited me to stay with them for a while, since at that time I was living by myself. So probably best I was be around people. And, you know, I felt nice just being around people. But during that time, I used alcohol to make me feel normal. A lot of it. And you know what? It did help me. It made me feel normal. It blocked out all these fucking other senses. And made me just be here in the now. But naturally didn't help with some weird depression and anxiety as well. But I needed this fucking break from this whole mind game or whatever it was. And it was weird because 99% of the time I stayed inside her place. And it was probably for, I want to say for a good year, I pretty much locked myself just like away from the world. Unless I tagged along with her and her family onto adventures out and about. But even then, I could feel paranoia rushes when I was around too many people. Like, I was just, like, feeling it all. And I was like, oh, my God, this is too much. You know? And one thing that stands out to me to this day was people, random people, would come up to me with one eye closed as they talked to me. And I'm like, I just saw you stand over there, talk to the other person, normally with both eyes open. Then you walk with me up to me as a stranger and you have one eye closed. What is going on? You know, but you know, I've always been to like esoteric stuff and knowledge. And I've researched stuff like the Illuminati and the all-seeing eye and stuff like that. You'll have to look that up. And so I knew there's kind of something else happening to me if this was taking place as such, you know, but I had no control over my emotional state. I was filled with like fear and anxiety when it came to like connecting to these random people. I just didn't know who to trust or what was happening. And along with, you know, people closing their one eyes, talking to me, literally they would do that. I would experience deja vu every day for the past 7 to 8 years, every day, deja vu. I kid you not. So it was really hard for me to focus on what was real and what was not real during this whole journey or years or life, whatever you want to put it. So it was definitely a trip, you know. And so eventually I left Daniela's, and which interns in the future, she actually ended up did joining the Navy. So that was kind of a, I guess, meant to be thing. But after that, my journey took me to a homeless shelter. I had nobody else to stay with, even trying to reach out to certain peoples and just kind of hit dead ends. So it was one of the things that maybe just needed to take place. But as a young boy, I did stay in some homeless shelters with my mom and my sister. So it was nothing that was new to me, but I didn't realize I was hitting a new low in my certain life at that certain point that I need to stay in a homeless shelter. But luckily I had some great friends that I was able to, you know, couch surf on, and I did a short stay at a hotel and different friends' house and stuff like that. And getting somewhat back to normal, I decided to join school, and I joined Lane Community College for psychology and then later on sociology, kind of like two loves of my life. So, just, but then again, it kind of fits with all this, you know, the psychology of the mindset. But even during school, I'd get anxiety mixed with my deja vu during these times. And I remember one particular day, I had enough. I was just going crazy in my head. I just wanted to stop. I couldn't pretend anymore to keep going on with this journey. I wanted to just stop and metaphorically break the walls and the shield of whatever was going on and just, you know, wake up or have this be over or something like that. And I remember I gave Paula a call. You know, and at that time, her and I weren't quite talking like every day or keeping contact, even though this pinnacle moment, she was kind of a catalyst for it. But I remember calling her and I was just like kind of freaking out. And I was like, I wanted some answers, or like, you know, something. And I remember this word for word, what she said. And it wasn't a whole lot that I remember, but this certain segment was, she said, "You have to wait in line. It's not your turn yet." That you have to wait in line. It's not your turn yet. So with that said, eventually, you know, that something like that did make me feel comforted. It made me feel like, okay, I'm not crazy. I'm not really crazy. You know, she kind of reaffirmed that I'm going through all this stuff without really saying it type thing. And so eventually I got in a room. In a house with roommates my own age, which was great because at the time I was, you know, I was feeling like myself a little bit more, you know, I've kind of went through hell and back at this point. But at this point, I was probably, could only work at a gas station and not my regular serving jobs because I was a little anxious and still disconnected from that sort of thing. But this kind of was like added to my party years. You know, I drank and I partied a lot and it felt good. I felt confident. I was having fun. I was meeting people. I was out and about, you know, and I shared my experiences with, you know, some of my roommates over the time, and weird occurrences would happen where I was able to kind of tell them about themselves, stuff that either they didn't know about themselves or stuff they didn't tell other people. Or, and then such as like, you know, or if I'll think of a song or I'll start singing a song, then we walk into a store or a place and that song is playing on loudspeakers or something like that. So weird occurrences like that would still happen. And I would still have this synchronicity and deja vu effect that was still taking place. But for some reason, it just felt more manageable. And I'm not sure if it was because I was like still screaming my head at whoever or whatever was happening. Like, hey, fucking ease off a little bit or some shit. And I remember telling my godparents about this whole experience while I was living in that house. And I was told it was a good idea to see a specialist or a psychiatrist, which I've never been fond of, you know. But I went anyways, you know, trying to seek some answers that I could clearly not answer for myself. And this happened a few times. I was even prescribed some medicine for schizophrenia after talking to this doctor who rated me on a scale from 1 to 5. He said I was a 3 on it. And what's interesting about that visit was that there was even like this little pamphlet behind him that said, "You're not alone." And to me, I was like, huh, that's kind of clever or funny. Maybe just think of the X-Files type thing. And so after that, I was, you know, actually those stupid pills makes you feel like a fucking zombie. So I would never suggest that to anyone ever. I was like a zombie and I was hungry all the time and I just felt like a dead soul pretty much. But so after I finished one prescription of it, I stopped taking that. And so I was like, well, I would rather deal with it some other way. And at least alcohol to me, you know, at least made me feel myself again. And, you know, I kind of turned towards that very often. You know, although I wasn't really productive with my life because I've been more of a thought like I could project and see where I was heading no matter what. Even before this whole spiritual journey took place, I knew what my life was going to end up anyways because I could see it. And I knew this wouldn't have like a long impact effect, even though honestly, I have gotten a lot of trouble with alcohol and it has put a damper on a few things. So I would not suggest it in moderation, folks. And so, you know, after a while, when I was able to start functioning again, I was able to take on more jobs in the customer service industries, you know, something I found myself really good at and kind of being towards, like pulled towards. And eventually I moved around and currently I'm in Southern Oregon, you know, and I even tested myself to make sure I wasn't dependent on this alcohol thing, you know, as being a dependent part of my life, like it needed to be there. And so I quit smoking and I drinking for a whole year. You know, I like to be a scientist with my own life and test different things out with my own mind and my body, because I want to see what am I capable of? Who am I? You know, what can I control and what impacts certain flow states in my life? And you know what? It turned out pretty great. You know, a lot of clarity. I was getting a lot of things done. And it reminded me the best thing that ultimately I had the power to control my own outcome. You know, as of now today, you know, I do dabble on and off with alcohol or smoking with some weed, but you know, there's almost just nothing there when it comes to like, you know, when you're a kid and you're smoking weed and you feel the giggles or euphoric experiencing, or, you know, you drink alcohol at a party, and you feel this like beautiful time with friends and stuff like that. To me, it's just kind of like, they're not there. So it doesn't give me any value anymore, except for, you know, sometimes it's just nice to take a break from the world or something like that. But it's pretty much gone. But honestly, it did serve its purpose at one point in my life. You know, it was a massive cover up the unknown, and it pushed me to make my mind think deeper on what happened during certain moments of time, which did help. Now, I was only able to tell this story while I was having drinks with people. You know, that was the only way I felt comfortable without anxiety or something kicking in. And so this is kind of great recording this as well. So, you know, over the years, you know, I've had a few rants towards Paula because it was like, if she was this catalyst, I was like, she knows something about this. She's the person with the answers. She's the person I need to, you know, push her buttons on. And I kind of lose my shit sometimes, like during text messages, just yelling, cursing, like, what the fuck is this? You know, please tell me this and that. And just not knowing who I could trust, if I can trust this person who had this impact over me over these years, you know, she's always had this, the way she would answer would be like in a collective mysterious state. You know, sometimes using metaphors such as, quoting, you know, you have to put the pieces together. You're slowly finding the pieces and figuring it out. Or, quote, you must read in between the lines. You know, I almost felt like she wanted to help me, but was unable to give me a clear answer for some reason or another or something like that. You know, I used to be scared to even say her name to people. You know, as I told this story to a select few, think that it was doing some sort of injustice to her by speaking her name out loud. But luckily I got over it and I eventually just asked her if it was okay because I needed to tell my story to people. I need to be like, hey, this has happened. This is what I need to, you know, I need to vent. I need some feedback. And she said it was okay to say her name during all this. So, So in my mind, trying to remember that day, I wanted to say that she told me that she was a gray witch. So, you know, please look that up, you know. But recently I decided to ask her. This isn't the first time I've asked her about this. You know, as my mental game grows stronger, I'm more grounded and more self-controlled with my emotions, especially towards her and towards all of this. And so in a recent text message, I'm about to read you a few of them. For quote to quote here, you know, I asked her, do you consider yourself a gray witch or ... I'm looking for a way to tell my story. She responds, clear. That way I can be whatever I need to be to help people in need. I then asked if she could clarify what a clear witch is, as I've only heard of white, gray, and black witches. She responds, a clear witch understands things better than most and tries to lead you on the correct path, a guidance, you can say. Although it's your own destiny that shows you how to make decisions of what you see, like for instance, to see your direction through a clear witch. Sometimes you might think it's clear, but others try to pull you into another color. Like all those things that were seeing in your dream, you're trying to deter you on a different path or make you think that's the right path. Confusing and a little worrisome too. It could be that a clear witch lets you see through them to the white witch. Just a thought, unquote. Now, let me add this as well. Throughout the beginning years when this was taking place and people would walk up to me randomly with one eye closed, I felt, and I've told others during this time, especially, and I've pointed it out during those specific times too, that it felt like somebody was looking through my physical eyes through me. I felt like I could feel it. And so I don't know if this whole process is this whole game or whatever it is. Maybe it's like this weird magical older generation that is enabled to pick a host or pick a player, whatever you want to call it, that they can sign a contract with and perhaps live their life, I guess, sort of a second time through new eyes for an extended period of time, until either the contract's over, the game's over, or whatever the end goal is, or something like that. But this has also been a thought on my mind, so I thought I'd let you know that as well. So with another recent text message I asked with her, I told her that I would be recording this and asked if she had any detailed information that she could tell me about that certain day's experience. She responds, chosen here, well, the neatest things was the first thing you told me about the white dress in the paper. And when you told me this, it felt calm and relaxed. We're going to be on Wonderland's wild rides. And in each month, we learn one more answer. In the first round, if we segregate the times we talk and we know when we fail into a different speech, that's another whole project. You kind of put them together like a puzzle. Finally, it'll all add together. One little secret is you won't be able to know it's together till it clicks in your head, and we're not sure what that is, so we'll just keep talking about it, and I'll keep giving you information that I see, and then we can correspond that way, unquote. Now, I did have a dream after the initial encounter on trying to remember what happened that specific day, and you know, I told her about this dream too, and that dream was her coming up to me in this like white flowy dress, having a paper in her hand as well. And I figure it was my subconscious trying to remember that specific day or give me a message or tell me or something. Now, granted, just to let you know, all these dreams and lucidities and stuff like that, her last name is Sleeper. Talk about coincidence and synchronicities there, huh? So I then texted her back asking her, what was the reason that my memory had to be erased from this event that took place? She responds, just been set aside so your body and your mind can help you in other projects that'll make you strong, and that you will see this a little at a time. And if you got more questions, I'll answer them to the best of my knowledge, unquote. So recalling several times Paula has entered my subconscious or dream state, till this day, I can remember a few times very vividly. And so I'm about to tell you a few of those right now. So this one vivid dream I had, I woke up in this lucid dream, which I woke up in a dream state and I knew I was dreaming. And I showed up in a backyard on like this bright sunny afternoon. And it looked like somebody was like growing some garden patches in the back. And there's guys sitting in the booth in the backyard, almost like a booth that you would go to purchase vegetables or something at like a growers or farmers market. And you just kind of just sitting there. And I saw, I just walked up to him and said immediately, I was like, "Hey, I know I'm dreaming. Where am I at? And what year is this?" He says, "Well, you're in Illinois and it's 1996. P.S. I've had numerous dreams of like these time traveling dreams into the future. And not sure if it's one of those on this one here, but the current year of me sleeping was in the late 20s or 2000s, sorry, when I was having this specific lucid dream." I just said, "Okay, thanks," and walked away and decided I would just take a look around and see what I could see and kind of what I could explore. So as I walked towards the front of this house, I walked towards the side up, you know, this gravel driveway and up to where I can reach the main road in front of the house. I remember looking left and right, and both the whole sides of the roads were just lined with like these tall, thick trees that were green. And I was like, "Oh, fuck. Well, there's not much exploring there. I don't see any neighbors. I don't see any stores. I don't see any other people walking around." So I was like, "Well, we'll just turn around and ask that guy sitting at the booth and just kind of pick his brain pretty much." But as I walked back up the road, and I get halfway up to this gravel driveway, almost to the backyard, I quickly turn around as two black SUVs pull up into the driveway. And people that you might imagine that look like the men in black, this is what it looked like. Came out of the car, but there was also women there who was front and center. Tall in stature, who I've always deemed and called the women in black. So I'm not sure if she out loud spoke to me or if it's telepathically or what it was, but I was pretty much asked to come to her or to something like that. And I was pretty skeptical, you know, just thinking you have a lucid dream and some like fucking men in black show up and like, "What's up?" or some weird shit. But right then and there, kind of having this thought, Paula peeps out behind these people, kind of like if she was playing peekaboo behind a tree and like peeked her head about and kind of just smiled and waved and then went back and disappeared behind these people again. And that kind of made me feel comfortable because, well, I knew Paula and I knew I was in this weird fucking magical dream spiritual journey thing. And so I felt trusting. So I was like, "Okay, let's see where this goes." And so I walk up to the woman in black and I remember I stepping on her feet and I hold on to her. And within a few seconds, we begin to ascend up to the sky. And I remember feeling pretty comfortable about this, kind of like just going with the flow type thing. Kind of like whatever happens, happens. Kind of like that in my everyday life, nonetheless. And so we keep going up and up until we pass the Earth's atmosphere and we get up into space. Because I'll never forget this moment my whole life. I remember this beautiful feeling of awe, just this awe-aspiring feeling and blissfulness. I could see the stars, nebulas, beautiful gas clouds full of colors everywhere all around me. I remember thinking that, man, if I happen to die in the second right now, I'm okay with it. I was just so euphoric in this moment in time. So the dream continues to her taking me to this place in space. Like in space, there's like this house of clouds. And I think it was made of clouds, on clouds. But, you know, so we land by this long glass sliding doors or something of the sorts. And there was like people inside. I want to say people around my age, literally just hanging out like they were just relaxing and partying at a friend's house. And I was walking through the house and I ended up in the kitchen where people were passing a blunt around. And at this point in my life, I wasn't smoking any weed. But I was thinking, well, it is a dream. So somebody passed me the blunt, kind of like this mini circle where there we was chatting and smoking. And knowing that it was kind of a lucid dream, I thought, well, I probably can do whatever I want in this dream, right? I probably can control it. Because I've done that a few times where I like, you know, I'll just take off a building, start flying, or I'll start moving stuff with my hands and my mind and stuff like that. It's been really fun. So I thought this was like that too, even though this was definitely more of a lucid dream than I'd ever experienced, just because the awe experience. And so with the kid in front of me, just staring at me, I looked at him and I snapped my fingers. And I was like, well, I could just make you disappear just like that. What happened? Nothing. Everyone around me started laughing. I felt so embarrassed, like, oh shit, did I really just try that here? And just like that, as most of you have dreams, the scenery just changed. Also, when I was in the study, picture what you might think of a warm lounge study in an elegant house or elegant library. There was a fire, bookshelves, oak furniture all around, and half the room was more of a dark setting because the fire lit up the other half. And I was sitting by the fire, and I don't know, it was kind of just like having like just a session or sitting there or something like that. And there's like three lounge comfy seats around this fire, and I was in one of them. And there's actually another kid in one of the other seats. And I don't remember the conversation we had, but it's kind of like we both had this look or this feeling like, what are we doing here? And right then and there, the lady in black shows up and she walks to this other kid and her head immediately turns into like this crow or raven's head and bites this kid's head off. And I was frightened. I was like, oh shit, is this about to happen to me? But luckily it never did. And she turns back to her normal self, which was a human face. And for some reason, I can't really explain this. I remember writing this in my journal that I felt like this profound love for her. Like it was like a watcher of some sorts, or, you know, some weird guide that I was just okay with being there protecting me or something like that. I'm not quite sure. So let me stay on this as well. Over the years, I've had crows and ravens follow me everywhere where I went. It was so profound that I have to mention it here right now. That's how profound it was. These crows, ravens would follow me everywhere, you know. And I know if you're into esoteric or spiritualism that, you know, they have symbolism to themselves, connecting themselves to the spirit world. I remember like one day when I was staying in this hotel and I had the blinds or the curtains open, and it was like a bright afternoon, and a crow or raven flew right into this, the kind of like the walkway, but sat right in front of my window, perched up on the railing, looking up inside my room. I was like, oh shit. But it wasn't the first time, because it was happened. And every time I walked by, it was like they crow at me or caw at me and then followed me to my next journey if I was walking or something like that, which always tripped me out. So that didn't help going outside. But I always thought it was kind of neat nonetheless, even though I was kind of scared. And, you know, so currently I live in Southern Oregon, and I've never in my life seen the biggest ravens or crows anywhere else. They almost look like these mythical creatures on how fucking big they are over here. And in research, it's most likely a raven rather than a crow. But these motherfuckers are like 1.5 to 2 feet big. Please search the fucking ravens in Southern Oregon, where if you live down here, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's like, damn. So definitely keep it interesting, you know. And I remember this other lucid dream where I had, I showed up in a bathroom and I knew it was lucid dreaming. And in a lot of lucid dreams, they say that if you can play around with it, go ahead and try these few things. Try to see your reflection. Try to see if you can find a clock or a watch and see if you can tell the time, or even look at yourself in some way, some form, because they say that's hard to do. Sometimes you're either transparent or you just don't do it. And so I remember that, and I was like right in front of this mirror. I could see myself and I was like, oh, wow. And I remember just touching the walls of this bathroom, like just trying to feel the texture, like just all the details about it, just really kind of be there in the moment. And I kind of feel part of my brain kind of going in and out, like I wanted to wake up, but I could also stay. And I was forcing myself to stay. So I was like trying not to be too like in depth about what I was watching, but still like feeling and seeing my surroundings. And as I opened the door, I came out and it was like this long, kind of like semi-dark lounge room. But the only thing there was like this long bar and little bar tables. And Paula was sitting there. And I sat up next to her. And either at this moment in time or as we like kind of went through the dream together, I told her, I was like, Paula, like in my waking state, I think I'm dreaming. Like, I don't know what's real anymore, what's not. And she just kind of giggles and says, yeah, we get that a lot. So one last remembrance I'll tell you when it comes to seeing Paula out of the blue in my dream. Well, actually, this particular moment was actually not in a dream state. This was in a waking state while I was awake. So while I was staying in that house with the people around my age, nobody was home and I just smoked some weed and I was chilling on this recliner watching a movie. And as I was watching the movie, I decided to pause the movie because, you know, I was seeing a lot of frequent symbolism around town and movies and TVs, but on buses, signs, everything was kind of talked to me. And like, it was like puzzle pieces just opening it up and just showing themselves to me pretty much. And I'm sure if you watched a couple movies or something like that, you know, if it, the background or you'll see trees or bushes and you might see faces and some of them are more prominent than others, but I really dived deep into this, kind of not, well, I was always into it, but I couldn't help it at some point in part of my life. It was just always there and it was just showing itself to me very, very vividly. And at this particular moment, I want to say I was probably watching like What's Eating Gilbert Grape or some movie like that. And I paused at a scenery where it was like this grassy knoll. And there's a bunch of like back scenery is a bunch of tree lines and, you know, the blue sky right above it. So I decided to pause it there, kind of see what I could see and speak to me and weird shit like that. And so while I was viewing it, I, you know, you could spot, you know, subliminal messaging and stuff like that. But while I was viewing it, a little veil opened up in this fucking TV. Like a fucking curtain. You know, I'm sure most of you have smoked some weed or dabbled in some marijuana. This shit does not make veils and like things open up in whatever space time thing ever. But anyways, so this veil opens up and Paula kind of peeps out and kind of has a backdrop, like, you know, she's in a study or something like that, but she has a, like an old school pocket watch. And it's kind of just dangling left and right while she smiles. Kind of like, you know, those pocket watches, like you can see that, you know, where somebody wanted to hypnotize you or something like that. And then it quickly shuts and it returns back to this pause, grassy knoll movie scene that I had it on. And I was like, oh, fuck. Wow. Like, first of all, that was fucking amazing. And second, I was like, well, was that a hint as to like, maybe I'm just in this hypnotized dream state or something like that. So I don't know. So folks, I'm going to leave you with all of that. To succumb to all of everything I've said, I am still on this spiritual journey today. My life has gotten a lot better. You know, I actually living by myself, but I'm very happy. I'm very grounded. Luckily, I have a lot of people close to me that I can reach out to, call, and vent to, and they're there when I need them to. And I want you to tune in to the next episode that I record because I'm going to have a conversation with HB, who's been my best friend for a long time and was the gentleman that I called that certain day after this experience happened. And I called and I said, hey, we're going to be set or everything's going to be set. And then I told him some other stuff that I don't quite remember. So I'm going to have him on the next episode of the podcast so he can break down what I did tell him. And he's a gentleman that keeps me grounded, because when I do think I'm losing my mind, I'm like, fuck, did that really happen? And then I can talk to him and be like, no, man, you fucking called me and this is what you said and stuff like that. So that kind of helps me a little bit. So, you know, on to the good times here, folks. I hope you enjoyed listening to this. This is not a made up story in whatever so way. You know, I appreciate you for listening. And if you have any feedback or any comments, feel free to comment on any platform that you're listening to. And you know, I share this message so that way I can put the pieces together now and for my future self. You know, I'm not sure if this will ever end, if this is just the life path chosen thing that's just happening. So we shall see. And honestly, to also end this, I did ask Paula if there was anything she wanted to say to the audience from when I did record the story to talk about, because I did tell her I was going to include her in it, or perhaps to leave me a message for my future self when I re-listen to this years later in the future. So I'm quoting, and this is what she has wrote me. Seems that when I met Coco, he lived upstairs, we became friends, and he had some sort of dilemma and needed it taken care of. I told him I would help if I can. He moved away, but still remembered me, and we still had our talks. We text and text and text from whatever time is needed to figure out what was going on at that point. He needed guidance. I felt I needed to reach out, and he told me things that I thought I'd never did, but then again, I thought of it more and more and more. I do try not to put names on things, but this is generally something is trying to get a hold of him to settle him and the other quote entities that have long done to him, because he knows some answers, and he puts me involved because he saw me in a white flowy dress upstairs giving him something. We're trying to figure out what that paper meant for days and days and days and days, every chance we had. This isn't a fake happening. I just still feel the shaking of his body when we were just on the phone. As it goes, we checked out different countries, London, Egyptian, American, and a bunch of other physical evidence. We spent hundreds of meticulously days, and he's doing this. Physical things have happened, and he could probably tell you more about it since he was there. I heard secondhand, but I believe him under the circumstances at home and at work. Be honest with one's thoughts and add something interesting. I know there's something out there that would love to grab onto this story. It's like the entities are trying to tell the story, and we just haven't gotten it yet. Any ideas? ? I have to do more ideas, but I'd like to find out somebody else's particular findings that would connect to this. Paula. Well, my beautiful folks, please tune in next time to have me and HB deep dive on what the conversation that was had on that very day. Well, here's to the good times coming, baby. You know, my hopes and dreams will manifest it. Let's continue this. And as always, I love you. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the I Self Reflect podcast. Subscribe and tune in next time to continue your journey to self-love, growth, and reflection. Make sure you follow us on all social channels at I Self Reflect, and check out our shop at iselfreflect.com. That's iselfreflect.com. Until next time, keep spreading the love.